The scripture today is the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and 44 through 52. Now, you'll hear the kingdom of heaven. Another translation of that is the kingdom of God. So in the sermon, you'll hear me use both for this. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make the nest in its branches. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in his great joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of God is like a net that is thrown into the sea and caught every kind of fish. And when it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it is, and so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? And the disciples answered, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. The word of God in scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. Jesus told a lot of stories. And I suspect he did this because he knew that people were drawn to a story. There were times when you would remember a story long after you had heard a lecture or a dissertation. Jesus told parables where he offered metaphors and comparisons and asked questions. When Jesus tells a story, he compels us to look at holy things with new eyes. He illustrates stories with references to the ordinary, to the homely things. Jesus painted pictures with words and offers us imagery and images that open up our hearts. He offers the simple things which have great depth. And take the kingdom stories we hear today. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he offers 5 different images right after another. The kingdom of heaven is like a weed, mold, treasure, a pearl, and fish. I mean, they're kind of odd. And I wonder if he used 5 images right in a row because there was something that the disciples needed to hear. I wonder if they were a bit, I don't know, maybe disheartened by the fact of how many people they had spoke the good news to and it didn't seem to make a difference. Maybe they were wondering about how God's love and God's ways could be theirs, if what they did made any difference in building God's kingdom here on earth, much less in heaven. I wonder if Jesus spoke to them because they could say the words and it didn't always really get to them. They said, oh, yes, we understand, but not really. It's like when we read the Lord's Prayer or say the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say those words, but are we really saying them? Do we really want God's will to be done here with us? So Jesus offers the disciples and offers us image of what God's kingdom looks like, what it may feel like, hints and glimpses of what it's like when God's rule is complete here and in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed that someone took and sowed in a field, and it grew to great heights, so big that birds could fly in it and make their nests. Now, as a child, I thought I understood this parable. I really liked it. I liked the idea that something small could just be grown and it would be gigantic. I loved the image that it was a mustard plant because I loved mustard. I was a hot dog fan, and I thought, how great to have a plant for mustard in your own yard. And I got some of the parable. I understood the thing that God can use something small and it will grow into something big. I got that as a kid. I got a sense that God will start as God wants and do wild things with something like a mustard seed. But what I did not understand is it wasn't the kind of mustard I imagined growing in a field. I thought, you know, you'd make all that great yellow mustard for hot dogs. No, this was not a cultivated type plant. This wild mustard was a weed, and it was a strong weed. If it got into a garden or a field, it would take it over, and it would grow fast. If you saw it and you were a farmer, you would pluck it out, because this weed was like the kudzu of the Palestine days. And if you don't know what kudzu is, it was like the ivy in your garden, or like that decorative bamboo that takes over everything. You just want a little bit, and it goes everywhere. People didn't sow this seed. They didn't plant it carefully. If they had the seeds at all, they'd throw them away so they didn't get into their fields. And yet, the parable is saying the kingdom of God is like a fast-growing seed. Really? Could it be reminding us, challenging us, that in spite of our best laid plans and orderly ways to work ahead, our vision statements, our 5-day, 5-year plan, that God will do what God will do? Richard Swanson said, "The kingdom of God, the rule of God, is a sign and source of disorder and chaos, and it disrupts a planned community's ability to witness to God." Really? It disrupts everything? Could it be the thing we didn't want, the thing we didn't plan for, the mistake, is the thing that will grow into something amazing and witness to God's kingdom? Could it be the simplest act of one person or two will change everything? Reminds me of a story that I may have told before about missionaries who started in Thailand in 1850. They went over there and they were going to change the land and convert them to Christ. Well, they worked for 1 year, and guess how many people were converted? 3. And that wasn't doing well. And then 2 of them were executed because they would not work on Sundays. So now they're down to 1 person and grieving families. And the king of that land, instead of killing the last person and the missionaries, banished them to a little remote island where an elephant had died. And this probably doesn't sound like anything, but where an elephant died is considered a haunted place. So he sent them to a haunted island where no one would ever go to live out their days. Now, those American missionaries, they probably could have gotten out of this. They probably could have snuck away, but they chose not to. They would not leave the one convert to themselves. So the 2 missionaries and the convert and some family members went to this island, and it was desolate. If it wasn't haunted, it sure felt like it. But they looked around and decided, what could they do here? And they found that there were many lepers on that island. Of course, who would you put there? You'd put the people no one wanted. So those 3 decided to build a hospital for lepers. And the church grew in this place that no one wanted to go. And Christianity in Thailand started on a haunted island. And now there is a hospital built by Presbyterians. There is a seminary, and the largest university of Thailand was started by Presbyterians. God's love grows in unexpected ways, and cannot be contained and is boundaryless. The next picture that Christ offers is the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, where a woman took that yeast and mixed it with 3 measures of flour until it became leavened bread. And I thought, okay, finally I know something about this. I know you go to the grocery store and you get those 3 packages of yeast and you check the date and then you put some water with it and it bubbles and you put it in bread and it's wonderful if you're lucky. If you're me, it's still a little risk. And I thought, I know about yeast. And then I read the story and thought, it isn't like that. There was no little packages in Jesus' day. A woman, this was woman's work. She would take a little bit of the bread from the batch you were making and she'd put it aside, the dough. And she'd leave it in a cool kind of damp place and it would transform itself into like yeast and leaven. And it was kind of smelly and gooey. And if you did it too early, it wouldn't work. And if you'd waited too long, it went bad. But you took that little bit from the last loaf and you mixed it with flour and it made a leavened bread. If you didn't have it, you had hard tack, flat, not very good bread. So what do you do with the kingdom of God is like a woman who uses mold to grow bread? And if you think that is kind of negative, let me tell you what it meant to the people who first heard this. They knew that the yeast, the leaven, was something you got out of your house when you were having the Passover meal. That's what they did. They cleared all leaven, all products that had that in it, from the house, and you burned it because you didn't want to have it there for the Passover holiday. So the kingdom of God is like that thing you have to get out of your house and burn before you can celebrate. Just great. I did get one thing right, at least when I knew the story, that it's about transformation, that moldy kind of fermenting thing can turn the ordinary into something amazing, something that's pleasurable for everyone. I think that Jesus might have been trying to hint that God will use the unlikely, God will use the not very wonderful, God will use the unappealing and will transform it. I wonder if he might have been saying that the smallest thing can change the whole world. I wonder if he was saying that if it doesn't look good, it's not very appealing, it might be just what God wants you to do. It's like a story of Will Willimon told. You know, I've been here so long, I'm going to repeat my stories, but you know, what the heck? I'm lucky I remember them, and maybe I haven't. Somewhere in my life I've told this story. Will Milliman tells a story about there was a woman in one of his churches. She was about 80 years old, and every week she would make about a whole batch of oatmeal cookies, and she would put them in little brown paper bags, 30 of them a week, and bring them to the local youth prison camp. And Will Willimon thought, oh, isn't that nice? She has some extra time. She makes sweets for the prisoners. She does this just to occupy herself. And then Will Willimon met the superintendent of that prison camp, and he told me that those cookies transform the lives of the young men in that place. And Will Willimon started to pay attention. Because the superintendent told him that some of those young men had never received a gift from anyone in their whole life. And they look forward to that bag of cookies. He said, they stand by the door behind those bars when she comes, eagerly awaiting those cookies. It's like a group of little boys waiting for Christmas Day, not convicted criminals. Those cookies change them. Will Willimon said he never looked at oatmeal cookies or that woman the same way again. Maybe, he said, the story reminds us that we should be impressed by what God and Jesus are impressed by, to look at the world that way. And then Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a net that's put out in the water, collects all the fish in, and then the fish is sorted, the good and the bad. Well, at least I know something about fish. I know that this is like a dragnet. That's where the term comes from. The big old net would probably be square or rectangle, and there'd be a rope on every corner, and you'd put it in the water, and the boat would go before, and they would drag everything up into it. That's where it got the term dragnet. And then after it was so heavy, they kind of hauled it to shore, and they'd get on the sand in the hot sun, and they would sort the fish. Well, even if you don't know fish, you know something about dragnets. You know that you could be going home one night on Gary, and they stop all the traffic, and the policemen stop everyone. They check driver's license, they look you in the eye, and most of us get gone, but some of us get stopped or detained for that ticket we didn't know we had forgotten to pay, or something more serious. It's a dragnet. You see what is out there. So what do we do with an image of the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that takes everything in. Well, here's the good news. We are not the ones that decide who's in and who's out. The story says it's the angels of God that decide that. So if you thought you were going to judge, give that one away. Your job is to throw out the net and take everything in. And that means everything. Those fish with the big old bulgy eyes that no one wants to eat, and the lovely fish everyone wants to eat. Everyone gets a place in this. So you're the ones being caught in the dragnet, and you're the ones throwing it out. And everyone is to have a place. And that's our job, to throw it wide and bring everyone in. In my last church, they said, "What kind of church do you think we are? Go ahead, tell us what we think you are, we're like." And one day I wasn't watching myself and I told them the truth. I think they wanted to say, "Oh, we're the visional church. We're the church of social justice. We're the church of the edge." And I said, "You're the church of the odd." And I'm, you know, surprised they didn't like that very much. And I said, "Oh, wait. This is what I mean by the odd. You have perfectly nice people in your pews, and then you have the other ones." And I'd kind of look at you chose me as a pastor. I'm a little odd. And then they were relieved a bit. But what they meant is they were able to give many people a place in their pews, many that could not get a seat anywhere else. And then they did never put that on their flyers. You know, Church of the Odd never made it to the website. But it was true. It meant they put the net out wide, and everyone had a place. I think I saw a bit of that wideness of the net here last night. As you know, we have the food we feed people every second and fourth Saturday in this church. If you haven't done it, you need to do it. The next one is on August 27th. The one after that is September 10th. I was up here working on my sermon last night, and I walked down and said, "Do you need volunteers?" Sometimes they do, and sometimes I like an excuse not to work on my sermon. And they said, this time they really wanted me. They were desperate because no one had showed up. And they said, "Yeah, we only have a couple of volunteers. Come and stay." So at 5:30, I went down, and I was thinking I was going to save everyone. I was going to feed, you know, everyone with my own hands. And there was lovely about six young men, probably under the age of about 20, I'd say. And I introduced myself to them, and, you know, like I'm the pastor, I started to quiz them because I can't help myself. "Where are you from? Who are your people?" And they're like going, "We're from Southern California." I said, "Why are you here?" And they said, "We're skating." And that was about all the information they were going to give me. But they were great. They fed everyone. They worked hard. Nothing threw them. And then I asked the person who brought them. Her name is Amy. Amy has come to help. Well, she was one who took that free food a while ago, and now she comes and she helps. She said she was on the street, and she saw these young boys just eating a loaf of bread, and they looked hungry. So she said, "Come work at this food kitchen. They'll give you some food. They're really good." They were just skaters. And I'm thinking, if I had been walking down that street, I would have ignored these young men. I would not have paid attention to them. I wouldn't have asked them to help. And yet they're the ones that save the meal. You cast the net wide, and you take people in, and you make the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a wild growing weed. It's like a woman with some moldy leaven. It's like a fish net cast out, and everyone has a place. These are words that the disciples needed to hear. They're words that we need to hear. I wonder if they needed to hear it because they were a bit discouraged, because I thought they were doing everything and they didn't see anything grow, and they were reminded the growth, the amount, is not up to you. I wonder if they needed to be reminded that it wasn't all about them, but it was all about God. I wonder if they needed to be reminded that God grows in wild, boundless, surprising places. I wonder if Jesus was trying to remind them to be impressed with what impresses God, not what impresses the world. I wonder if the kingdom of heaven is like a church service, where you come expecting one thing and you get something totally different, and it's just what you were searching for. I wonder if the kingdom of heaven is growing here. Amen.